Hello and welcome back to this ASI podcast. Today I'll be speaking with Cameron Jones, Director of Assurance and Risk. So we're going to be picking up where we left off in the last podcast, where we discussed auditors doing their homework, what to do in advance of an audit, given you're a new site, a new entity, just hints and tips. So this week, Cam, what's the hot topic?
Well, you've just said it yourself, Rhiannon, part two. So you've done your homework. So you're heading into site in the taxi, in your Uber, in your hire car, and you're about to head onto site. Let's kick things off and using those auditor sixth sense in terms of what to do on site that might just be a little bit left of field.
Okay, great. So let's put myself in the auditor's shoes. So I'm seeing this site for the first time. I've just arrived. What's the first thing that I might want to consider doing as a first action?
Well, before the opening meeting, the audit can certainly kick off before then. And that's hopping into the gatehouse or security, doing any sort of induction and starting to actually do your audit then. Not just looking at how things are being done, but also just get a sense for issues around efficiency, communication. Is this a well-oiled machine? Is there an air of chaos or uncertainty around processes? This will give you a good bit of a canary in the coal mine, really, a bit of an indication of how things might be running on site. Now, some people might say, well, security is outsourced. It's a third-party provider. Doesn't matter. That's still a good indicator for those communications between entity and contractor as well, too. So that very first step of getting out onto site and maybe accessing your PPE and signing induction forms and so forth, that actually gives you a bit of a good introduction as to where this audit might be heading.
Okay, that's a really interesting tip there about security. And so I've got my PPE, I'm ready to go on a walkabout. What are the sorts of things I should be thinking about or bearing in mind as I'm moving around the site?
Well, to not only look at the site, but also look over the fence as well too. So whilst you're doing the site walkover, also have a look at the neighbours as well, because that also forms part of, we talked about homework in part one, but even while you're on site, it's a little bit of your homework too. It's reinforcing and triangulating any research you've done before you've got on the site, whether it be that Google Earth look that I mentioned, or looking at some of those other online databases. Have a look at the neighbours as well. Have a look what's going over the fence. You may even see some legacy issues around contamination or past waste management practices that have sort of leaked or eked over the site boundary too. Don't be too short on your site walkover as well. It's amazing about how many issues can be picked up on site. And the good audits that we see in assurance often are those ones that have those additional pickups during the site walkover. And you really get an impression, not just us in assurance, but those external stakeholders that are reading the public audit reports on the ASI website, really gives that next level. And just during the site walkover, be prepared to have a quick chat, what I like to call a spot chat, with employees and contractors on site. It might only be 30 seconds, 1 minute. It may only be just on one topic. And of course, seek approval from your site host, of course. But generally speaking, there shouldn't be any problems. And if the site, if your site host is reluctant to approve you talking to an employee or contractor, then that itself might be a bit of an issue to follow up. But have just a quick chat, introduce yourselves, be very friendly. Don't put them on the spot. I know I called it a spot chat, but just ask a question or two.
That's great, Cam. Spot chats, that's a really good tip. And I think, you know, it's interesting to consider along the way, yes, of course, you're going to be talking to people, but it's that piece about asking for permission and just making sure that, you know, people are comfortable with having these little chats. And so how are we finding the balance between being formal and being informal? What kinds of questions should auditors be prepared to ask just, you know, in that kind of setting?
Look, and you've touched on a good point there, Rhiannon, with respect to a balance. And a balance is important because there is the formal interview, formal discussion element to an audit, and that's typically pre-arranged, pre-prepared, and put in the audit schedule. So balancing that are exactly, yeah, these informal, quick 30-second, 1-minute chats on the shop floor, and would probably be restricted to one issue, one question or two questions, and related to what he or she is doing, on site as well. If they're working in a potline, maybe you might want to talk to them about what the entity's doing with respect to heat stress or just general health and safety. You might be out in the waste area too, and just asking general questions about how waste is managed, what training's provided, PPE and so forth. So you'd be wanting to ask the question that is relevant to their duties as well. But another good way to get the benefit out of these spot chats too is this triangulation or cross verification with the formal interviews. So you might be having formal interviews in head office, in administration, around communication, violence and harassment, gender equity, some of those issues that require a number of people to respond, overtime, working conditions, and so forth. So you've got the formal component there with respect to interviews, but also do those in a quick or light fashion on site as well, and see what they're saying on site. Does that match with what's being said in a more formal interview? And if you've got a discrepancy there, that's a real red flag for you to then do some follow-up there. Why are the people on the shop floor during those spot chats saying something a fair bit different to those individuals you've interviewed in the administration office, for example?
That's a great point. That's a really good tip there, making sure things match up and all the puzzle pieces fit together. That's a great tip, Cam. So I think on that, is there anything else that jumps out as a top tip? Anything else that really should be top of the list to consider at this point?
Yeah, good point, Rhianna. And what I would like to say here is it's probably something that I'd almost call your auditor's sixth sense. It's not necessarily a particular focus area. It's those issues that you can't quite put a finger on, but it's almost a feeling. You get a sense. You walk through the cafeteria, you look at notice boards, you walk through maybe other common areas, walk through certain offices, and just get a feeling about the general behavior of individuals. Look at what's being posted on notice boards. Look at the cleanliness and housekeeping of the facility as well, too. A bit like what I said up front with respect to the security and gatehouse on your first arrival. Just have a look throughout the site as to the general housekeeping and almost the well-being of the facility as well too, because that also can feed into your audit findings too.
It's great. So there's some really good top tips we've covered really in these two sessions. Making sure you do your homework, utilizing external platforms or websites or tools that are at your disposal, really thinking outside the box when it comes to getting on site and things you can look at, having those conversations with the security guards, using your intuition and trusting your intuition, and just, looking around at everything and taking that step back from the very formal process to make sure that everything is covered. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up for today?
Oh, just to reinforce what you've just said there, Rhiannon, yet you are not walking through the site with a clipboard and a list of boxes to tick. It's much, much more diverse and nuanced than that. It's not an inspection where you go, yes, you are not inspecting a car, going, yep, the seat belts work, the steering wheel works, brakes are in good condition. It is not a checklist or an inspection. It is much, much more nuanced than that. And the ASI auditor cohort are well versed in that. And we see that in their reports and their detailed reports too. They do go to a lot of effort to go well beyond that inspection mentality. And I guess that's part of our chat here today, Rhianna, is just to reinforce that yes, it's much, much more than that.
That's great, Cam. Well, thank you so much for joining me again and sharing your wealth of experience. Hope to talk to you again soon about some new topics.
Yeah, thanks, Rhianna. Good chatting with you.